Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 19 years now we have been bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about part 4 in our series on the Holy Spirit. And this is a power-packed message today. It's a very deep message, but it's one that you're going to want to listen to every word and understand it. Pray for understanding, pray for wisdom, and the Holy Spirit of God is yours to have if you're a born-again believer, to walk with you, to abide with you, to be in you. And so we thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for His great word, the great messages that He gives us. So if you have your Bible today, turn it to Acts chapter 1, and we'll take up this message. Radio Ministry, great to be with you today. I want to encourage you this week to get out and vote. It's a prophetic act, as I spoke in the prayer time. It's a prophetic act. You're speaking over your future when you go out and vote. And so it's an opportunity you have, we have. I've already voted. Because I'm in a foreign country, I've already voted, did that quite some time ago. And it's a prophetic act over your future, over your family's future, your community, your country. And you're speaking into your future and speaking what you believe the future of your country should look like, what it should be, who should direct it, who should manage it. And so we thank you for going to vote, and you'll be happy when you did. You'll be fulfilled when you fulfill your patriotic act, your act as a citizen to go and speak over your future. Well, we're in the short rain season here in Kenya, have a lot of beautiful crops out at the Shamba. We're trying to make plans to do a crusade out at the village. We have 3 other churches in other villages, and so we want to do a crusade here in December. So pray about that. We're also looking to buy a piece of land. We have a neighbor that wants to trade us a piece of land, so we're looking for a piece of land that we can swap for his piece of land, which sets right next to our church. And then we want to build a school. So if you have any questions about that, pray about that. Maybe you can help us build that school here in Kenya, a primary school for about 200 students. It's a big project, but you can help us. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of the broadcast. And so you can help us put forth a school here in Makunda Village, a Christian school in Makunda Village. So you can be a part of that if you want to. So today we're going to be talking about Acts Chapter 1, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And as I spoke, this is the 4th of a series of messages that we have been speaking about the Holy Spirit. If you have not studied much about the Holy Spirit is the 3rd person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given to us that we can have wisdom, we can have counsel, we can have an intercessor, and we can have help in time of need. All of these things the Holy Spirit, the intercessor, the paraclete, does for us. And so as born-again believers, you have the Spirit of the living God with you and in you. And I suggest you go back and study John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Those 3 chapters are the most comprehensive in all the New Testament, discussing the role of the Holy Spirit, discussing how the Holy Spirit came to be. Jesus said, I would not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you in the form of the Spirit of the living God. And Jesus said, you can even do greater works than I do. And he didn't mean in quality, he meant in quantity, because the Holy Spirit is with every believer all over the world. And so we're not confined to Israel. We're not confined to Galilee or Nazareth. We can go anywhere in the world, and the Holy Spirit of God is with us. Everywhere you go in the world, where you find believers, you will find the Holy Spirit of God activating believers, counseling them, and being their advocate And so that is what he meant, that we can do greater works than even Jesus Christ himself. Well, in Acts chapter 1, today we're going to be talking about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and the prophecy of Joel 2:28. We read it last week. I'm not going to go back and read it again today, but the prophecy of Joel said, in the latter days, the Spirit will be poured out, and your sons and daughters will dream dreams, your old men will see visions, even on your maidservants and manservants, the Spirit will be poured out. In other words, it's going to be poured out on every single person who asks for it, who wants it, who desires it. There will be no boundaries, nothing to keep it away from even the lowliest of people, and it will activate dreams and visions. It will activate gifts, powerful gifts. And so that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we're going to look at today. And that prophecy of Joel happened 800 years before Jesus Christ walked on the earth. So approximately 830 years later, after the prophetic word of Joel, then the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And that is what kicked off the New Testament church. Well, in Acts chapter 1, if you have your Bible there, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus has come back. This is 40 days after the resurrection, and Jesus is appearing to the disciples, which he did over the 40-day period. He appeared to the disciples in many different ways. And so in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Well, the promise of the Father that he's speaking about was the Holy Spirit and is the Holy Spirit, because the Father had promised that through Jesus Christ in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Jesus said, the Spirit is coming. And so that is the promise of the Father. And in verse 5 in Acts 1, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so that is almost an exact duplicate of the words that John the Baptist spoke. If you go back to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, the Pharisees and others, many, many people were coming out to the Jordan River, and they were coming because John the Baptist was out there baptizing people in the Jordan River, and he was baptizing people for the repentance of their sins. And so the Pharisees came out, and John spoke to them, and he said, bring forth fruits according to repentance. And he then said, who informed you of the wrath to come? In other words, who told you to come out here? And so John was baptizing people. And even at that end of that chapter, chapter 3, Jesus himself comes out and he is baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus himself receives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down as a dove, rested upon Jesus. Then the heavens opened up and the Father spoke over him at that very moment and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so John spoke in Matthew 3:11, John spoke and he said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but there is one coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so Jesus Christ is the baptizer. He is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. And what John was saying is there is two baptisms. The first is a baptism for repentance, and it is an entry into the kingdom of God. You go from being a non-believer to a believer through confession of your faith and through baptism. When you confess, you repent, you turn from your wicked ways, and you move into the kingdom of God. And that doesn't mean you're never going to sin. Don't get that in your mind that you're sinless. And it also does not mean that you're never going to have attacks from the enemy, that you're never going to have to deal with demons or demonic oppression or struggles with the enemy of our life. You will continue to have that, but you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you and living with you. When you repent and are baptized and turn from your wicked ways, then you go from the unbelieving world, the natural world, into the supernatural world, that world of the born-again believers. And if you're listening to me today and you have never confessed Jesus publicly, you've never spoken that I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you've never spoken that before men and never spoken it publicly, you need to do that today. If you make that decision while you're listening to this program or at the end of this program, email me pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know you made that decision. I can arrange even from here in Kenya to have you baptized, and you can confess your faith before men, and then you will be in the world of the believers. You'll be in the supernatural world of the kingdom of God. And so John said that there's one coming after me. He will baptize you, not with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So there's two baptisms. One is the natural baptism, or the visible baptism, the baptism in water, which represents the washing away of your sins by the blood of Jesus. When Jesus went to the cross, he shed his perfect, precious blood on the cross to wash your sins away. There's no magic in the water. Doesn't matter if the water has chlorine or fluoride or anything else in it. There's no magic in the water. The water is just a symbolic representation of the blood of Jesus that washes your sin away. The water doesn't wash your sin away. It's the blood of Jesus, and the water represents that washing, that cleansing, and that turning away, and that turning to the Lord, repenting of your sins and washing your sins away, the remission of your sins. But John said, there's another baptism coming, and it's by Jesus Christ. It's not a visible baptism. It's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please explain to me what Matthew 3:11 means when John said, there's one coming after me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so Jesus spoke those very same words in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. And then we're going to jump on down to verse 7 in Acts chapter 1. Jesus said, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, because they were asking Jesus, when is the kingdom coming? And they wanted the kingdom to take over Israel. They wanted to kick the Romans out. They wanted this kingdom of Jesus to be a military kingdom, a natural kingdom, and a kingdom that would take over Israel, the birthplace of the children of Israel. And Jesus said, no, it's not going to be that kind of kingdom. And it is not for you to know times or seasons. And that is the providence of God. That is the domain of God. Even today, Christians are always asking, Jesus, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? And they try to predict the return of Jesus. They try to predict when he's coming back to set up his millennial reign here, set up his kingdom reign here on the earth. Again, that is not the domain of human beings. That is not our domain here on this earth. That is the providence of God. So don't trouble yourself trying to predict the things that are of the domain of God. And Jesus went on to say then in verse 8, this is a key verse here for us today. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so Jesus said, you're going to receive power. That word there in the Greek language which the New Testament is translated in Greek, translated from Greek, and it says, you shall receive power, and that word power is dunamis, the very same word that we get dynamite from in our English language. And so that word dunamis means that you're going to have power to get out and witness first in your locale, in your immediate locale, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your village, whether it's in your neighborhood or somewhere close proximity to where you are today. And then Jesus says, and you shall also be my witness in Judea and in Samaria. That's farther out. Judea is farther out away from Jerusalem. And Samaria was another district. It was not Jewish people. It was people who are mixed in their tribal orientation and mixed in their ethnic orientation. And so you're going to start first in Jerusalem, then you're going to go to Judea, farther out from Jerusalem, then you're going to go to Samaria, into places that are foreign to you, and then to the end of the earth. And so that is a representation of what will happen when people become baptized with the Holy Spirit of the living God. And so that's what gives people power. I have to tell you, in all honesty, I would not be here in Kenya for even a day if I did not have the Holy Spirit of the living God to empower me. I would not be here, because there's nothing here that I desire to be here for. It's a very tough place to live. It's nothing like the United States of America. A lot of inconvenience, a lot of danger at different times. The food is totally foreign to me. The people are foreign. Their languages are foreign. And so it is the Holy Spirit of the living God that gives me the power to stay here, the desire to stay here, and the reason to stay here, because the Holy Spirit gave me a dream back in 2010, in the spring of 2010. The Holy Spirit gave me a dream, just as the prophet Joel prophesied, your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Well, I was about 50 years old at that time when the Lord gave me that dream. And the Holy Spirit gave me the dream and showed me that God wanted me to come here to Africa to preach the gospel. And beloved, that's why I'm here, out of obedience to the Lord. That's why I'm here, because again, I would not be here. There would be no reason for me to be here if it had not been for the Holy Spirit of God. And so Jesus said, you're going to receive power. Well, if you look at your Christian life, those of you who are already born again believers, if you look at your Christian life and you say, where's the power? Why don't I have the power? You pray and you ask God to give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the power to get out and speak about and be a witness for Jesus Christ, if you don't have the power to conduct a Bible study, I'm not talking about preaching a crusade or standing up in church and preaching. I'm talking about even just conducting a Bible study. If you don't have the power to do that, the courage to do that, you better pray and ask the Lord to give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you have power to go ahead and do what the Lord has called you to do. Every single person, you're asked to go, the Great Commission, go into all the nations. The go, G-O, is the first part of the gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L. That's the go of the gospel. God is calling every single believer to go into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching all of the disciples, teaching them to be disciples. And then he says, lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, immediately after Jesus told them they were going to receive the Holy Spirit, verse 9, now when he had spoken those things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Well, these were angels. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And so the angels were saying, Jesus is going to come back. Just as you saw him leave, he will be coming back. Don't trouble yourself. Don't try to predict when the day is going to be. Just be ready. Watch and pray. Occupy until the day he comes back. Well, Jesus had told the disciples and the others there, there was about 120 in the upper room at that time, and he had told them to wait in Jerusalem for a short time, and the day of Pentecost came 10 days later. Pentecost means 50 days after the resurrection, one of the great feasts of Israel, and many people were there in Jerusalem. Hundreds of thousands, people believe, were there in Jerusalem on that day. And so when the day of Pentecost had fully come, then this outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened, just as Jesus said, wait for what the Father has promised. And it happened just as Jesus knew it would happen. So we're going to jump over to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together with one accord in one place. And suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And so the Holy Spirit is starting to come. The Holy Spirit is not a wind. It's not a rushing mighty wind. And verse 2, it just fills the whole house to prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Why is it like a wind? It's like a wind. It's not a wind, but it's like a wind. And in John chapter 3, it said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell from where it comes or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit. It is a spiritual birth, and it cannot be seen. It cannot be explained intellectually. And so just as the wind blows, you can't see the wind. You don't know what the wind looks like. You can just see the manifestation of what the wind is doing. It moves the trees around. Sometimes it blows houses over. Sometimes it blows crops over. But you don't actually see the wind, you just see the results of it. And Jesus is saying, that's what the wind of the Holy Spirit is all about. And so in verse 2, the wind comes in, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then in verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each one of them. Every single person in that room had a divided tongue of fire sitting on their head. Why fire? The Holy Spirit isn't fire, but it just represents the burning out, the refining fire of the living God. Deuteronomy 4:24 tells us that our Lord is a refining fire. He is a jealous God. And so when the refining fire of the Holy Spirit comes in you and resides in you, he burns out sin, and he cleanses and he purifies, just as fire cleanses ore and makes strong metal, just as fire cleanses silver and cleanses gold and makes pure silver and pure gold. The Holy Spirit comes as a fire in you, and it purifies, it burns out, it resides in you. The Holy Spirit of God is a jealous God. He jealously guards that spirit that is within you, and he also refines you and purifies you and makes you look more like Jesus Christ in your life. When you become spirit-filled, when you become born again, your life will start to look like Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to be sinless. Get that out of your mind. If you stumble, get up and go again. If you make a tragic mistake, it's okay. God will forgive you. When you're born again, you're still a believer, and you still will have to come and repent and ask the Lord to forgive you, but he will forgive you. The Lord is faithful and true to forgive you of every sin that you commit when you're a born-again believer. And you all you have to do is ask the Lord to forgive you, and he will forgive you, and you will be then cleansed to start the next day. And then in verse 4, Acts 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we have this great happening there, this historic event. First, the wind came in the room, then the divided tongues of fire set on each one of them's head, and then they all began to speak in tongues. And as the Spirit gave them utterance, the Holy Spirit of God gave them utterance. And this is called the doctrine of first mention. If you don't like to hear about tongues, don't read the Bible. It's in the Bible. And you have to understand there's some things you don't understand about the Bible. If you have questions, you can email me. But the Spirit gave them utterance and they began to speak in tongues. And this was not a one-time only event that happened on the day of Pentecost back 2,000 years ago. It can happen today in your life. The Holy Spirit can come as a cloven tongues of fire. It can rest on your head, and you can begin to speak in tongues just as the Spirit gives you utterance. Well, the amazing thing, there were many, many thousands of people listening there that day, and these people from Galilee, these men from Galilee, they started to speak the message of the gospel to the thousands and tens of thousands of people there that day, and people started to hear the message of the gospel in their own language. And there were many different language groups there, many different people from different parts of the world there, and they all began to hear the message of the gospel in their own language. This was not a miracle of hearing. Nothing had changed in their hearing. The miracle was the gift of tongues had been poured out on those who were speaking, and the gift of tongues allowed them to speak a language that they did not know, a language that they'd never studied and never learned. And so that language allowed them to speak the gospel message to others there who could hear it in their own native language. Well, this is beyond human intellect. You can't explain this intellectually. It just happened as God had planned it. It happened as God choreographed it. And that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We'll look at more of this next week. We're out of time for this week, but we'll take up what happened right after the outpouring next week. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down today, write us out a check so that we can keep these good broadcasts coming, keep the Africa mission going at a high level. We'd love to hear from you today. Include prayer requests today, and we would be happy to pray for you. Thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.